Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together. Wow, if you're looking for an action-packed, advice-packed, inspiration-packed episode, this one's for you. It's a shorter episode than a lot of ours are, but you may end up having to listen to it twice. Chris Prefontaine, he's a fast talker. We cover a lot of ground, and man, he's got a ton of experience, a ton of lessons he's learned from the 08 crash in particular. We focused a lot on the 2008 real estate crash and how that for 4 years affected him massively, specifically with regard to personal debt and, you know, not filing for bankruptcy. He dug his way out of that, got out of his own way in 2012, 2013. And then again in 2017, had to get out of his own way. And in the episode, we dive into really what that means. And they've scaled their business. They now have two sides to it, where one side is they work with students and they do deals with students. So their interests are aligned. And secondly, they also hope they have their own side of the business where they do their own deals and with their own money and kind of keep growing both sides of the business. Like I said, Chris is a high energy kind of guy from the Northeast, and just so many, I mean, we were just rattling off questions and answers. This one is one you definitely need to pay attention to. And maybe even listen to twice. You're going to enjoy it. Thanks.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm pumped today to have with us Chris Prefontaine. Chris is the founder of Smart Real Estate Coach. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm awesome. Thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for spending your time with us. This is going to be great. I know you've got a lot of valuable lessons and a great story to share with our listener. For the listener who may be unfamiliar with you, Chris, who are you and what are you up to today?
Sure. So, founder and chairman of Smart Real Estate Coach, you and I will probably peel back how that came about. But since 2014, we've been coaching people all around North America to do real estate deals without using banks and their own cash. And that, again, was born out of some events that we'll talk about. And I've been in the business 33 years, real estate in general. So we'll peel that back layer by layer, I'm sure, and get some nuggets out there for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. So just very briefly before we jump back, what does your business look like in a little bit more detail today?
Yeah. So we do two things. So while we're out in the trenches coaching and mentoring and partnering on deals with students, because we don't just sell them something, Jamie, we actually do a deal with them and we rev share. It's a big difference because we're in the deal with them. And that kind of fills the hole of, in my opinion, of what exists in the real estate education. Because, you know, people sell stuff and then they don't come behind it with support. So we're actually doing deals. We do somewhere between 5 and 20 deals a month with students across North America. And then to keep us fresh and poised, and plus I love it, it's been my life, we do the same deals on our own, in our family company, my son and I and my son-in-law, my wife, because it keeps us sharp and fresh and keeps the deals coming in so that when we get new roadblocks, new hurdles, new twists, new problems, we get to update the community. And it's always live.
Makes perfect sense. It's you have aligned interests and each side kind of works synergistically to feed the other side and support the other side.
Yeah.
We do mentorship with mortgage note investing, and same kind of deal. I run a mortgage note fund, and it's like, I learn new things every day with running the note fund, but I also learn things mentoring people, and they kind of work together. So, let's jump back. I know the 08 crash was a big, big moment in your life. Is that where you'd like to start with your story?
Yeah, I can give a couple second review up to there just so there's some context. But I mean, I've been at this since 1991, so I'm dating myself a bit, but I've had brokerages, I've built homes, you know, coached people in the realtor end before I did investment end. But yeah, the crash really, it was painful, but it taught me a bunch of stuff. And that's what it's why and what I'm doing today. So let me explain 08.
Yeah.
Going into 08, I had around 23 or so different properties or projects.
Okay.
The difference was between now and then, one of the major lessons we learned is I was signed personally on every single one of them. You know the deal. You're in the note business.
Yeah.
So I personally guaranteed every one of them. Well, when the market went down, one of my projects went down from 170 grand sell price to I couldn't give them away for 50 grand. It was a condominium conversion building.
Okay.
So, you know, what happens then? They come knocking. They come looking for me.
Yeah.
So from February of 08, I remember like it was yesterday, talk about adversity. From February of 08 to February of 12, literally, I was in workout mode with not, I didn't file. I just worked through it. I dug through the weeds and worked with creditors, worked with short sales, worked with foreclosures.
Yeah.
Because you just couldn't sell the stuff at the same values. But
and just to briefly to clarify for the listener, you didn't file for bankruptcy, right? Is what you're saying. But you were close. Yeah. You considered it sounds like, and it was an option maybe, but you fought your way through the foreclosures and the defaults.
Yeah, everybody said to. I mean, literally. Trusted people, attorney said, what are you doing? And I just said, I can't do it. Morally and ethically, can't do it.
Got it. So from 08 to 2012, in a little more detail, what was that really, what was that adversity like? You, I guess coming into 08, what were your goals? What did you think was going to happen? And then kind of how did things change for you?
Well, I wish I knew then, but in
hindsight,
my goals were to keep the ATM going, right? You thought there was no end to that market.
Sure.
I was buying stuff with the bank loans, and then also some of them were being supplemented with investor money. So that was even more of a headache. Well, I mean, 08 to 12 was what? It was, and my day was probably 3/4 to full based on talking to personal creditors. Like I'm talking about IRS, credit cards, cars, and then working with the properties. So it wasn't fun. The mental piece of that was tough because it was around 12 where someone said to me, one of my trusted sort of friends slash mentors said, hey, Chris, you need to get your head out of the sand. You didn't take the national market down. You need to get to work. So, and he said, you tell everyone you're working through it. I don't care if it takes you 10 years. So I did that. I got out of my own way in 12 and started in 13.
Okay. So what does that mean exactly in your situation, getting out of your own way?
I was in my head. It must have been me. You know, it was all mental game, 100% mental.
Okay.
It must have been me. I can't do this. I've been in real estate 18 years at that point, you figure. So there's, you know, that was a lot going on in the brain.
All right. So no, I'm glad you, that's important for the listener because the point is for those maybe younger entrepreneurs, younger investors out there that didn't experience 08 at all. Maybe they don't even know what conditions you're talking about, but the point is, you know, they can Google that and figure that out. But
yeah,
there were a ton of market conditions that were 100% outside of your control. And so what you're saying is for several years you blamed yourself.
Yeah.
It sounds like, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And 100%. Then at some point it's almost like, okay, stop asking why and just move forward. Why did this happen? Why me? Or what did I do to cause this? And maybe you did make some mistakes along the way, who knows, but it doesn't really matter at that point. So 2012, 2013, how did your mindset shift?
I started, so twice in my entire career, I didn't have a mentor and one of them was 08, right?
Okay.
As I thought back, I'm like, man, what a stupid that was. So I started reaching out to trusted business people and people in my area, as well as finding them through books and online and just picking their brains. And frankly, some of them chuckled and said, are you kidding me? Like they went through so much worse in 08. It made me seem like it was nothing.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all I had to do 4 years earlier though. And I didn't.
Right. Well, that's important too. It's just to, you know, the perspective of realizing somebody else has it worse than you, you know?
Always.
Okay. So 2013, what were the actionable steps? You talked about the mindset shift, but really what did that look like as far as, you know, your day to day?
Yeah. Okay, so there was just sort of some on I'll call them rules. I didn't call them rules then, but sort of some protocol and some rules to operate in. One was never, ever, ever, and to this day, sign on bank loans, and that's why I teach it, right? Never.
Uh-huh.
If you have 825 credit, do not do it. Secondly, no longer would I operate where it was transactional. One, do a deal, get paid, do a deal, get paid. So that was the impetus to our trademark of three paydays. So there's all kinds of cool things. You couldn't have convinced me then that there were going to be good things, but there are all kind of cool things that came out of that from that experience. And then no longer using gobs of our own cash. So those are the exact same criteria we teach today.
Got it. Okay, so then walk us through just, I know this is a huge jump in time, but in the last 10 years, what was the growth? Focus on the growth of your business over the last 10 years. What did that look like?
Yeah, so from the summer of 13, and we our properties bop and weave, right? With how many? But we went into COVID, for example, right with that craziness with about 72 properties. We exit them all with rent to own. So the standard landlord during that time would be like, whoa, this is a headache. And they went through headaches. We had maybe three or four headaches out of 72 because we were dealing with buyers, not renters. Big difference in our model. So that's key. But just to put some numbers to this, because you said, what I think off here we were talking about the success. Our deals now, the way I structure them, the three paydays, the way we trademarked it, they're worth like 45 grand to 350 grand per deal. So I remember in August of 13 to December of 13, my first run, I'm like, wow, this is cool. We got to 1.2 million all three paydays. Now that takes time to come to fruition, but we had accumulated about 1.2 worth just doing 13 deals. And that's when my light bulb went off. And then I started getting demand organically. I didn't market it to teach others. And then now
Now
we
you're
have hit
yeah.
fastest growing company in US, Inc. 5,000, 3 years in a row.
Yeah, that's amazing. So walk us through a typical deal just for the listener, maybe who is an investor or real estate, entrepreneur, but they're not exactly sure what you just said. What does a typical deal look like?
Yeah. So just to give that context, we buy only three ways, typically, just for the show's sake here today. We buy owner financing, subject to existing financing and lease purchase. Let's talk about owner financing just because that's a word that a lot of people know. We niche that down even further to free and clear properties, Jamie. So about a third of the properties in the United States, roughly, are free and clear, no mortgage. We look for those, and then we structure owner financing payments monthly to the sellers that are principal only. Now think about that with where the rates are right now. So principal only, it's a massive, massive pay down of principal throughout the deal. And that's where a lot of wealth is created. So what are the three paydays to cap this off? Let's just pretend you're a buyer of one of our properties. You came from corporate America, perhaps you want to start your own business. You're not financeable for 2 years, right? You need some seasoning. So you'll come in on a rent-to-own vehicle with us. You'll be qualified to make sure you can get to the finish line. You'll put a down payment down. Payday one, non-refundable comes to us. Payday two, I'm paying the seller something. You're paying me that plus. So I'm going to keep that delta. And then payday three is really cool and lucrative because it's all the principal pay down throughout the term of the deal, 3 or 4 years, plus any markup we did. So when I said our deals are worth 45 to 350, that's where they come from, those three paydays.
Now take this from a slightly different angle. As far as the business itself and your team, and if you could try to weave in, mindset. So, how do you decide when to hire somebody, when it's time to scale versus when to hold back and just stick with, quality over quantity as far as team members and that kind of thing? Because I know you've scaled quite a bit with your team. What did that look like in the last 10 years?
Yeah, this is a good question because I'll hit hiring second. Let me hit the scaling thing first. In 2017, we always look at, okay, what's the next year look like and what do we need for skill sets or people or mentors? Every year we do it. So in 17, we're going, well, wait a minute. I've been a solopreneur my whole life, literally in the business, and I've always banged my head on $1 million, right? Around that frame. And in the business, you almost anyone, I'm not watering it down, but almost anyone can get to $1 million by more hours, more follow-up, more call, you can get there. The million to three, and then the three to 10, that it's a totally different animal. So in 17, we said, who can help us get there? Because I never did it. And so we found an organization, Elite Entrepreneurs, was still with them. They help people go from 7 to 8 figures and 8 to 9. That's what they specialize in, someone from 1 million and on up. So we found them in December of 17 and have not looked back. And they really brought us through that. Now, you talk about mindset. I remember sitting in the room with them, December of 17, and them going through their process of, let's design the org chart and let's design all these things to get you to a $5 million business. And in my brain mindset, I'm going, all right, that's good, but this doesn't compute like charts and organization.
Right.
But I call this guy, probably he's still my coach indirectly, but I call him a lot and go, look, we owe it all to you, Brett, because my mindset wasn't there. And he brought us there. Now it's now it's the norm.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like those are two distinct, 2012 and 2017, two distinct points where you had to get out of your own way, in a sense.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it's very fair to say. And now I'll tell you where we're at now. So now that we've hit that five mark, the challenge is people will learn is 3 to 10 is another whole animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it becomes, we're banging ahead 2 years in a row in that mark. Why? Leadership.
Mm.
Right? It's not really as much the mindset anymore. I think I'm past that. I'll look in 2 years and let you know.
Right.
I think it's leadership.
I'll bring you
now,
back
right?
on in 2 years.
Yeah, because I'd love to. Because leaders will, the team will drag revenue. It's not expensive if you do it right. They'll drag revenue. So that's our next big step is to build that leadership team to drag us to the 10.
Yeah. So then when you say leadership, that's not just you, that's leadership, including you and under you, right?
Yeah, it's gotta be more. Yeah.
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 Got it. So what is the business? Just quickly, what does the business look, what does your team look like today?
We've got about, now since COVID, they're all over the place, right? No longer here in Rhode Island. We've got about 18 or so people in different capacities, from CEO to marketing to sales, and we'll be somewhere around the 5 million mark again this year.
That's awesome. Hopefully in 2 years, you that's nothing, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're running.
Awesome. All right. So got some questions for you, rapid fire questions.
Sure.
What's one thing that people misunderstand about you, Chris?
Well, I mean, I said to you before the show, kidding. I said, hey, we're limited time, but I talk fast. I'm from New England, but I'm also extremely blunt. And so they sometimes don't see the other side of that. My wife will say, they don't even know you. I've been married 38 years. Or so she'll say, they don't even know. But in business, I, you know, we've got a path and a goal. And my goal is to help you, if you're a student, get to yours. And there's a way to coach that. So I can be a little blunt.
Yeah. Well, you're a man on a mission, right? And your time is valuable. So I get that. Looking back, what's one of your biggest failures and what did you learn from that experience?
It would definitely be the 08. And I'll tell you what I learned aside from what we talked about, but we said it indirectly, the mental game, especially in real estate, but as an entrepreneurship is hard. You know it.
Absolutely.
People think it's easy. No, it's hard. And the mental game is more than we think is the biggest lesson there, I think. It, like 98% of it.
No, that's huge. And I do think entrepreneurship is, in general, much harder than the way it's presented on social media, for sure. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, whom would you choose?
Now, this would change every 2 months if you asked me, right? But and this is not political, so please
don't
shoot arrows.
All good.
If I could sit with Trump and figure out how the heck he dealt with what he dealt with, I don't care if you like him or not. I'm not even addressing that. I'm saying how as a person mentally did you deal with it? That's what
it's amazing. I get also, yes, I'll probably get, emails for this too, but I mean, it's incredible. I was actually talking to someone last night about 2 nights ago about this, regardless of whether you voted for him or not, and whether you agree that it's self-imposed, hardship or not, it's unbelievable what he's been able to just get through and still remain standing. So,
Well, you and I could say this fairly, I think. How about any president?
Yeah.
How do you sleep?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't have to be him. Any president, I can generalize that.
Right. Oh, now you left me hanging, with the pro-Trump sign. No, I'm just kidding. just kidding. But if let's see, what's one challenge that you're facing in your business right now, Chris?
It's most certainly, well, it's two things. I said leadership, right? So that's our next mission to train more leaders. But second is I tend to be because of how I used to be a solopreneur, I tend to be a micromanager. So I need to get out of the way a little bit more and trust that process a little bit more. I know
Got
that.
It. So maybe 2025 is another get out of your own way.
Yeah, it is.
What is one piece of advice you'd give to a brand new solopreneur, real estate, active investor, really just starting out?
I guess this could go for any business, but I like that you asked for real estate. Three things. I say this a lot. One, because of what you said earlier, you alluded to something about experience. So number one, because they didn't maybe go through 08. Number one, find a niche. Let's go this way. Find a niche that you can get behind. like morally, ethically, and business-wise, you go, that's me. I can get behind that. Two, then find someone that you alluded to earlier that's been around for at least two real estate cycles. And I'm adamant about this because if not, you're going to get yourself in hot water potentially. And three, put the blinders on then and follow that and don't get caught up with all the real estate shiny objects. There's a hundred of them, right? They're all great niches, but don't get caught up. Put blinders on for about 36 months bare minimum and you'll have a good experience.
No, I that's really good advice. I mean, I've mentored people who they want to get mortgage note advice from me. And then 2 weeks later, you know, should I get in, should I be doing short-term rentals? You know, and then it's like, I don't know, maybe, like focus.
You know, I call that they like, I said this to a student today, I said, look, I knew he was looking at all the stuff. I said, you're drilling for wells nonstop and you're never going to hit water. Never. You got to drill for 3 years.
Yeah. And then later on, you can add more
quivers. Yeah.
Diversify a little bit. I think you alluded to a little bit of this before, but what's something controversial that you see, whether it's in the education, real estate education space, or just in real estate in general?
I'm going to say real estate education space, because this is another thing I'm adamant about. There's just too many people that are good marketers, good for them, but they're hitting you on social, some stuff real, some stuff fake, but you're buying off of it.
Yeah.
A bunch of nonsense. I'll tell you that we're not great marketers, but we know how to do deals. So just be careful. And if you parlay that with the three-step formula I gave with someone with experience, you'll have a great experience. Just be careful about it.
Sure. No, and I think that's really good. I mean, you and I don't know each other that well, but I've seen your name around and I know you do have a good reputation. I think just being in the space this long speaks to something, you know, your integrity and the quality of the work you do.
I appreciate it.
In your opinion, what's the role of luck versus skill in real estate success?
That's a good one. I think luck comes in when you stay at it long enough. And let me give you a quick example, because I love real stories. So I can think of a few, but Jessica comes to mind. She's in Tennessee. People see her and they see what she's doing today. She's got like four or five deals going on. They're all lucrative. She just had a baby. And they go, oh, they might consider her lucky, right? No, she went 15 months without getting her deal and was calling me. She's daily accountability with me. She's at one of the higher levels. Literally ready to turn it in. Said, I just don't know if this is me. And then it was like the funnel opened probably 3 weeks later, coincidentally. So you could say it's luck. No, it's luck because she stuck with it.
Right, for sure. So overnight success she was, basically.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. No, that's really good. And that's also speaks to the fact that, you know, success is not a straight line up and to the right, right? It can up and you go up and down. You can take two steps back. I mean, five
well, I
steps
agree.
Forward.
I agree with how you said it, because I always say this: success is a real shitty teacher. It's not, so it's
right.
the downs that
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, and kind of to close the loop on the 08 thing, just looking back, what were the, you've already mentioned a lot of several lessons, but what are the biggest one or two lessons you learned looking back at 08?
I could tie it all together with this comment. You and I said earlier, well, there's always someone who had it worse. By the same token, there's always someone that has done what you want to do in some shape, form, or fashion, and you can now luckily find them on the internet. So the lesson would be simply look for that. You seek it out. I had a gentleman on my podcast, David Nurse. He's a high performance coach for NBA players. I'm talking about these guys that come out of college and making ridiculous, like 10, 20 million, right? Said to me, Chris, here's what I do. He was on the show saying this publicly. I find out the skill set I have to teach them, whether it's mindset or skill set, whatever it is. He said, I go seek someone out literally on YouTube and we mirror that and match that. Okay. Brain science? Nope. But it works incredibly well.
Sure. No, I love that. And that's something I love about real estate in general. It's like, yes, creativity is great and it's important. You guys you structure your deals in many creative ways, but there's someone who's done this before.
Yep.
For the most part, right? And you can learn from them. Maybe not your exact business model, but success leaves clues, and you're not stealing or anything, but you're copying what their traits are, what they, you know, their behavior.
Yeah, this creative financing has been around for hundreds of years. What's the difference?
Right.
We just wrapped a bow around it and some support, but you can go find stuff, right?
Sure. All right. So talk in a little more detail about, you know, if I'm a student and I sign up with you, what are the levels you referred to? What does that look like?
Yeah. We try to hit everyone, Jamie. So for example, we'll give you a try. We were talking about this off here, a free book. Why? I want free so that you don't feel pressured. I want you to pick your niche for free, right? So that level, so to speak, is free. And there's a free master's class, all kinds of free stuff. Once you decide, okay, this looks like it's for me, we have what's called Apprentice. Apprentice is extremely affordable, and it lets them get into sort of a group coaching format that again allows them to kind of dance with us, get their feet wet, but not go crazy yet.
Sure.
And then after that, if they like that, or if they're more aggressive right away, they can do it. They can get in what we call an associate program. There's different levels, but the associate program actually revenue shares with us, has us on their back, or I coach the high level, but we have four or five coaches as well. And they'll be calling sellers, calling buyers, working these deals with them. Just
Nice.
today, I did three pretty important, I'll call it, calls for my higher level people. I record it, I put it on the Slack channel so everybody can have it. That's like interactive stuff. That's how we operate in all our levels.
Yeah, got it. Well, and I imagine too, like I know with our mentorship program, I think it's a little bit dialed down, but it's not only just the time spent, in the one-on-one. It's also likely you have referrals, and I mean, just getting plugged into your network, I think, would be hugely valuable. Is that true?
That's a big point. Yeah. So people say to me, well, I saw your different levels and I see what the splits are. And I always say, look, that's great. That's math. Yes, it's better. But to your point, how about the dream team? Like I bring to some of the what we call the higher level calls. I bring one of our equity partners who built the largest fitness brand, one of the largest in the world, and exited twice for 40 million each time. They can't get to a person like that. But if they come on the group call because they're in my group, they get to pick his brain for a half hour. I mean, it's incredible.
That's
Incredible.
invaluable for sure. All right. So how about for you personally, Chris? Take a step back, and what does your life look like? What does your kind of day to day look like? What is your week? How many vacations do you go on per year? What's your life look like?
This has changed, okay? So for context, the listeners, I'm 58. If you just listen and not watching this, and didn't catch the beginning of the dates, so my deal now is more about creating experiences. That's kind of my why. So earning enough cash, creating enough wealth, sure, to do the things that money and wealth can't buy, right? The experience with family, kids, grandkids. So as of this filming, for example, we'll head out to Vermont. They'll all be there, grandparents, kids, grandkids, and we'll create experiences. That's what it's all about now for us. As far as my business day, I'm always on, Jamie. I mean, I'm off, but I'm always on. So I technically am in the office Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now, there's a new thing I did this year. It worked well. One of my mentors helped me with it. But am
Nice.
I always on because they own the company? Yeah, I'm
Sure.
on for a couple hours in the
Yeah.
morning, and I got my finger on the pulse because I
Yeah.
love it.
I
But
don't
that's
think
kind of my
you're
day
not
to
going to re retire is not in your vocabulary, is
That's an old word. It doesn't shouldn't even
it?
be in the vocab.
Yeah, I love it. I did miss one question. What's a book or two? I know you've written several books. What is one book or two that you could recommend for our listener?
You know, that changes every few weeks too, right? Because whatever my mental mode is, but I can tell you if you're in real estate and you haven't read the McDonald's story, the same one that the movie was out, I think it's Under the Golden Arches, or there's a few out, but it's the one that mirrors the movie and vice versa. It's incredible because it talks about all the hardships they went through. And the next one that I would tell any entrepreneur, I called my son-in-law, who's our CEO, and I said, you got to read this. It's that very thick, brand new book Musk has out. It is when you go through his story, again, whether you like him or not, it's not a political thing. To hear what he went through, I was like reciting it to my wife, going, this is like crazy. You think he went through tough stuff? Go read his book. Again, it's like
Nice.
4 inches, 5, 6 inches thick, but it's
Gotcha.
a good read. It's the same guy that wrote the one about Steve Jobs. It was incredible.
Okay. I'll have to pick that one up.
Incredible.
Awesome. What have we what's a question I haven't asked you that you wish I had?
Actually, some of my ending comments you hit at the beginning because you're a great host. Look, I'll just say this: I don't care if it's real estate or not. The thing you and I talked about go finding someone, they're out there on the internet. Please understand that someone can bring you to where you want to go if you just mentally believe it. Because the only thing stopping you as a listener to go, check out your niche with notes or my niche with creative financing, and later doing them both. The only thing, because if you knew you'd succeed, you'd do it. So the only thing is you. You're the only thing in your way, and you're the only thing stopping how high you go as well. So just understand that going into your new year or your new quarter, doesn't matter when you hear this, and let the reins loose because you are it. You're the only thing in your way.
I love it. That's fantastic. Chris Prefontaine, where can our listeners find you online?
Anywhere social media wise, if you type in smart real estate coach, you're going to get us. As far as something I'd love to put in their hands that you said at the beginning, or I told you and you said good, is another thing you asked me about the education space that irks me is when I go, yeah, I want this free book. It says free. And then I click on it and it says, put in your $11 for shipping. It's just annoying.
It's not free.
We have a free book. You're actually probably hint we'll get two, but they're two out of our four bestsellers. All you got to do is go to wickedsmartbooks.com/J Bateman. That way we know it came from this show. We'll honor it. You'll get hard copies, not electronic, and they'll be shipped out from our office here. No charge.
Fantastic. We're definitely going to put that link in the show notes for sure.
Thank you.
Chris, any parting thoughts? Anything you have never shared on a podcast that you'd like to?
I would have thought about that beforehand. I don't think so, because I'm an open book. Good question, Jimmy. I'm an open book. I love your question flows. I appreciate what you do in your show and what you do as a biz. So, yeah, I'd love to reconvene.
Awesome.
I'll say public, I'd love to have you on my show. So let's
Fantastic. Let's get that scheduled. Sounds great. Well, Chris, thank you so much. This has been really good. I know your time is valuable, and we appreciate you spending your time with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And to the listeners, same to you. We know your time is valuable. We appreciate your time and attention as well. Definitely head over to our podcast website, adversity2abundance.com. It's the number two, adversity2abundance.com, and share the show with a friend. Thanks all. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversity2abundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment, so you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.